This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Stitch for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Today is the third Sunday in the season of Advent. During Advent, Christians reflect on what the prophets said about the coming of Jesus as a baby to Bethlehem, what they said about his true identity during his earthly ministry, and also what they said about his return to earth one day as King in great glory and majesty. Today's theme is about the second of these. John, known to everyone as the Baptist, languishes in prison, but somehow gets word to Jesus via messengers to inquire whether he really is the true Messiah. So let's open today's programme with a beautiful hymn sung by the BYU Men's Choir called Who Is He in Yonder Stall? Here is today's scripture reading taken from Matthew chapter 11, beginning to read at verse 2. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offence at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Shall we listen to Kristen Getty singing a wonderful hymn, Before the Throne of God?
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart.
There was a line in that last song which says, "When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within." Well, if that's the case, the devil must have been having a field day with John, there in his prison cell, tempting him to despair, playing tricks with his mind. Here he was at the lowest point of his life, weak, vulnerable, in chains and in darkness. Perhaps prison had so demoralized him that he'd begun to be unsure of himself. For here he was suddenly needing reassurance that his life's work had not been all in vain, that he hadn't given his support to the wrong leader. Perhaps John had overheard conflicting reports about Jesus. And after all, the kind of kingdom that the Messiah was supposed to usher in had not materialized. Were such thoughts going through John the Baptist's mind as he sent messengers to check Jesus out, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" You know, such thoughts can often assault us in our weak moments. That's when we need to send word to, just like John did, and pray to God, asking him to guard us and guide us, to cry out to him, "Are you the one? Are you there, God?" Our next song is this chorus. "You go before me. You're there beside me. And if I wander, love will find me. Goodness and mercy will always follow. You go before me, my guardian." And it's a song called Guardian by Ben Cantillon.
King of love and grace, my guardian, all my hopes and fears are in your hands. I'm in your hands. Where you go, I'll go. Show me the way. Every step I take,
In St. Peter's first letter, he tells the early church to hand over every fear to God, saying this: "Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded and alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in your faith, and in the knowledge that your brothers and sisters throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering." John the Baptist was much in need of such peace in his suffering. There are some beautiful words reflecting Psalm 46 which say, "Be still and know I am God." And this song says, "Be still and know I am with you." It's sung here by Marilla Ness.
Be still and know I am with you. Be still, I am the Lord. I will not leave you orphans. I leave with you my word. Be one
Lovely words there. The stars shine only in darkness, and in your need I give my peace. Many people do feel a sense of God's presence when they're in dark situations where they haven't before. John had been so thoroughly convinced of Jesus' status the moment he saw him at his baptism, so much so that he had declared, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" John's doubts remind us that Jesus was unconventional. He didn't act in the way that many people expected the coming Messiah to act, as a warlord or a warrior like King David. Jesus proclaimed simply the kingdom of God. He didn't defend himself against negative comments. He simply got on with the job. Nor did he attack his adversaries behind their backs. If he needed to confront their hypocrisy, he spoke out directly to them. He said what he had to say to their faces. But at the same time, he spoke out on behalf of the downtrodden, the poor, and the needy, who so much needed God's help. Here's a well-known hymn called "God's Spirit is in My Heart," sung by the choir of Mary Immaculate Church.
God's Spirit is in my heart. He has called me and set me apart. This is what I have to do, what I have to do. He sent me to bring the goodness to the poor.
Tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more.
Tell blind people that they can see. And set the downtrodden free.
And go tell everyone the news that the kingdom of God.
As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you out to be my witnesses throughout the world, the whole of the world.
He sent me to bring the goodness to the poor.
Tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more.
Kingdom of God has come, and go tell everyone.
The reply Jesus gave to John was to remind him of certain prophecies by Isaiah, who wrote first this: "Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He's coming to save you, and when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland." Isaiah also prophesied, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God." Let's listen to Aled Jones singing "Be Still," for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here.
Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Come bow before him now with reverence and fear. In him the sin is found, we stand on holy ground. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. He burns with holy fire, with splendor he is crowned. How awesome is the sight, a radiant King of light. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining.
So Jesus was basically saying to John, don't despair. Instead, listen to what is actually happening in the lives of my people as these ancient prophecies are being fulfilled. The blind do receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. And then Jesus affirmed John in his ministry by telling his followers, truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. And he adds the words, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Perhaps here he was also talking about future followers, for knowing what we now know of Jesus and of the power of the Holy Spirit, we've actually been given the ability to do even greater things in his name. We are all of us important to Jesus. He needs us and our willingness to serve to build up his world. We are the ones called to proclaim Jesus as Lord of all. We are to speak about his life, his death, and his resurrection, and his call for all people to become his disciples. I love this next song by Hillsong, Oh Praise the Name. Once that chorus is in your mind, you can't get it out of your mind.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord, oh Lord our God. Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, tremble dead, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord our God.
We need to resist the urge which makes us feel like giving up or doing less for God. There are so many wonderful words of encouragement throughout the Bible that we can read if we're feeling low or rejected or unappreciated, where God is reassuring us of his love and his presence with us. He stirs us into action with his words. He stirs us to greater things. Words such as these, if we read on in one of those passages from Isaiah chapter 61, where God promises to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. He goes on to say they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. May the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. That's all we have time for today. It's goodbye from me, Sheila Hummel, and also Andrew Ridgewick, my technician.
Bye, everyone.
Have a wonderful week. As we proceed to the Christmas season, we keep you in our minds and our prayers. Here's our final song by Chris Tomlin. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Bye for now.
Strength will rise.